going to talk tonight about the Antichrist. And I thought this would be a one message, but then I got going on it. And boy, I just keep coming upon stuff and stuff, and so this isn't going to be one message. Amen, right? Amen. And so here, let's look here in Revelation chapter number 13. Revelation chapter number 13. And we'll read here verses 1 through 10 to get us going. So I'm going to give you a lot of verses. We're going to look at a lot of verses, okay? And so we're going to turn to them. But as well, you might want to write them down as well so you can go home and look at them. Because a lot of them, you know, it takes a lot to put all this together. So let's get into it. Revelation chapter number 13, verse number 1 says, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months, which is 3.5 years. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints." Now this isn't the saved saints. The rapture has already happened. The saved saints, the saved, the born-again believers were already raptured out. These saints we're talking about here are those that get saved during the tribulation period, okay? "And it was given unto him to make war with the saints," those that were saved during this time, "and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love you. And Lord, we are grateful here to be here tonight, Lord. Grateful for your word. Grateful for the truth of your word. And I'm grateful, Lord, that we can open your word here tonight. But Lord, I need you. I pray now that you fill me with your spirit. I pray you give me your words, your wisdom, your direction, and your clarity of thought here as we look at this here topic here in your word here tonight, Lord. I pray you speak to our hearts here today. We'll give you the glory for what you do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, the very next thing on God's timetable, the very next prophetic event is the rapture. Right? The rapture of the born-again believers in Jesus Christ. It's not the rapture of the church, okay? It's the rapture of those that have been born again. There's going to be plenty of people left behind when the rapture takes place, whether they're Baptists or whatever they are, right? This is only talking about the born-again believers in Jesus Christ. And nothing needs to take place before the rapture happens. The rapture can happen at this very next moment. The rapture is imminent. It can happen right now. And the rapture has always been imminent. Paul thought the rapture was coming in his day. We're 2,000 years down the road. The rapture is imminent. Now, after the rapture comes the judgment seat of Christ for those saved, for those that are raptured up out of here, for those that are saved. We stand before Jesus Christ and give an account of our Christian life. But here on earth, things aren't going to be so joyous. Things aren't going to be going so well here on earth. There's going to be a time like no other time here on earth. There's going to be a time of torture. There's going to be a time of pain. There's going to be a time of death like not ever seen before. All the world wars will not compare to the death that will come in this great tribulation time. Now remember, only the saved will be raptured. Right? The people who were not saved will be left behind. They will remain here on this earth. And it's during this time, during this seven-year period of tribulation the Bible talks about, when God will pour out His wrath on the unsaved, unbelieving world. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us everything, but it tells me enough, hey, that if I wasn't saved, I would want to get saved. The Bible doesn't tell us everything, but it tells me enough to know that there is going to be a lot of suffering and a lot of death going on here for those that have been left behind. If you would, turn over to Revelation chapter number 6, as Roman puts this slide up. But turn over to Revelation chapter number 6. And I want to show you a couple things here. Here in Revelation chapter number 6 and verses 7 and 8, here we have a seal. One of the seals, all right? We're talking about one of the seals that is opened here, okay? And judgment comes from these seals. And in Revelation chapter 6 and verse 7 and 8, look with me here. It says, "And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, 'Come and see.' And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him." You notice that wherever there is death, hell is following right behind. Remember, those that are left behind are all lost. There will be plenty. There will be people that will get saved during this time. But listen here, death and hell followed with him. Power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth. A quarter of the earth's population is going to die in this fourth seal. Now, I put this up here to give you a visual. Right now, currently, there are over 8 billion people in this world. 8 billion people in the world today. And a quarter of those people is 2 billion people. And so if you were to take this seal, when this seal is open, if it was today, approximately 2 billion people would die. That's all the blue sections, right? Well, it's any of these, but just let's take the blue section. Let's take the blue section. Now, we're not talking about land area. We're talking about people, right? And so in this blue section here, there's this reported that there's approximately 2 billion people that live in those areas, okay? And so one seal here wipes out all the people that could be associated with it. Now, that's not exactly how it's going to play out, I know. But I'm giving you a visual here. Now, if you would, turn over to Revelation chapter 9. Look here in Revelation chapter 9. And look here in verses 14 and 15. Now, there's going to be a lot of death here on this earth here in this tribulation. A quarter of the people of the earth's population is going to die on this fourth seal. And here in Revelation chapter 9 and verses 14 and 15, listen to this. He says, "Saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates." Right now, there are four angels, the Bible says, at the Euphrates River, they're just waiting to be released for this day of judgment. What is this judgment? Look in verse 15. He says, "And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour, and a day, and a month, and a year, for to slay the third part of men." Think about it. We just, a quarter of the population has died, and now these angels here at the Euphrates River are going to be released, and they are going to slay a third part of the remaining population. A third part of the 75% basically is another 2 million people. So now you've removed the blue, and now you can go ahead and remove the green, right? And you can see what you're left with. Half of the world's population is going to be killed. Half of the world's population is going to be destroyed by the time you get to Revelation chapter number 9. The great tribulation is going to be tribulation. It's going to be a bad time. Now, there's lots of ways that these can happen, but that's what the Bible says right here. But this isn't even to mention all the other ways of death. Right, there is going to be murder. Like we look at the news today, people murder people all the time. But in this time, it's going to happen
It's just going to happen, right? People are going to murder people. People are going to be starving to death. People are going to be eaten by the beast of the earth, the Bible says. And not to mention that the people who were saved were raptured out. The point is this, world during this time is not going to look like it does today. It's not going to look like it does today. God is going to be pouring out His great wrath on this world. And that's why it's important. Hey, we have the truth. If they're left behind, they're going to go through this. Most likely be killed in this time. Most likely go off into eternal torment of hell and the lake of fire. But we have the truth. And so, what are we doing with it? Right, Sonny? We have the truth. What are we doing with it? Are we going into all the world to preach the gospel? Are we going to do our part here in Macon, Georgia? I mean, just think about all of the chaos that's going on in the world at this time. I mean, the deaths and the murder and everything that's taken hold on this place. And it's during this time that a man's going to come up. There's going to be a man who will come into power and he will literally take control of the world, whatever that world looks like. Right? But just think about that. All over the world. You know, the rapture happened. So Christians have vanished. Children, babies, parents, moms and dads, all over. Rapture has happened. There's a panic. There's fear. There is destruction. And there is death all around us. And the Antichrist is going to come on scene. And he is going to be the peacemaker. He is going to be the one that could bring everybody together and just kind of kumbaya everybody. And let's just come together and just make peace. That's going to be the Antichrist in the beginning. He's going to come on the scene and he is going to make a peace treaty with Israel. And he's going to rebuild the temple. The temple in Israel will be rebuilt at this time. There's a lot of talks about it right now. If you haven't noticed, there's a lot of talks about rebuilding that temple. All right. But it's not going to happen until the Antichrist comes. They have everything. They've been breeding red heifers, a perfect red heifer ready to go. But it's not going to take place until the Antichrist comes on scene. And halfway through this 7 year, at the 3.5 year mark, he's going to break his covenant with Israel. And he's going to set himself up on the stage, set himself up as God, set himself as the one true God. And he's going to blaspheme the one true God in heaven. And he will establish the one world government, the one world religion. And you know, of course, the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast, his mark, whatever that might look like, but you know it could be something embedded in the skin, a chip of some sort, and that's already out there. That's been out there. Right? We have a dog, and that dog had a chip in him, right? He had to put that chip in the dog and everything. But that the things are already lined up. That mark of the beast, you know, if you don't have that mark, you can't eat. You can't buy, you can't sell, but you know, and we'll look at it later as well, but that mark of the beast, right, you get that mark of the beast, it's basically saying that you reject the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? You reject the Lord Jesus Christ, but the Antichrist, he is going to set himself up as a God to be worshipped. And over the past 6,000 years of human existence, Satan has tried to get the power. Satan has tried to get, remember, he tried to get Jesus to bow. In Matthew chapter 4, he took him up on that high mountain. He says, hey, all this you can have, Jesus, if you just bow down and worship me. And so now Satan is going to have his man, his Antichrist, his man on the throne. But I'm telling you, it's going to be short-lived. And if you would, flip over to Revelation chapter number 19. Revelation chapter number 19. And look there in verse number 20. In Revelation 19, verse 20, the Bible says here, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. You see, his end is already pronounced. His end is coming. He is going to be cast alive into the lake of fire. But the thing with the Antichrist here is this world that we live in is ready. This world, I believe, it is primed for the Antichrist. This world is primed for a one-world government. It's primed for a one-world religion. It is primed for a one-world currency. It is primed for the Antichrist to just come on scene. And you know, the only thing holding him back, there's only one thing, and that's God's timing. The Holy Spirit of God is holding him back. If you would, flip over now to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. And look here in verses 6 through 8. God has His perfect timing. Nothing is going to change that. The devil is not going to change that. God has His time. And here in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, look here in verses 6 through 8. It says here, and now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. The restrainer, the one holding him back right here, he uses this called he in verse 7. He, the only person, is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God is restraining the devil back right here in accordance with God's perfect timing, in accordance with God's will. The Holy Spirit of God is restraining the devil until God's appropriate and chosen time. You see, nobody knows when the rapture is going to take place. You understand that? Nobody knows. Now, we've gone throughout centuries and we've had false prophets and false people who predicted the rapture is going to happen this year. Right? They've written books and they've made millions and millions. And then when that year didn't happen, you know, they come out the next year and say, here's another 100 reasons why the rapture is going to happen this year. Right? And they sell millions of more, deceiving people. But nobody knows when the rapture is going to happen. Nobody knows when this is going to take place. Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 36, but of the day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Only He knows it. So if you start listening to somebody and they say, oh, the rapture is going to happen, we're right there, it's going to happen in 2026. 2025, whatever, it doesn't matter. You better turn that off. You better run. They don't know, okay? Nobody knows, right? But as Christians, we need to not fear what's going on around us. We need to be aware of it, but we need to not fear like the lost world fears those things. We are living in the end times, yes. You understand that? Paul was living in the end times, yes. And like I said, we're 2,000 years further down the road and things are getting worse. Things are getting worse quicker, right? Things are. They're getting worse. But you need to remember, we're on the winning side. We are on the winning side. We already read there in Revelation 19 where this Antichrist is going to be thrown into the lake of fire. We know the devil's going to have the same fate. You know, hey, he's already defeated. We are on the winning side. But listen, we are going to go through tribulations and trials in life. Okay, that's part of being human. Human, that's part of living in a fallen sin world. But we are not going to go through the great tribulation that the Bible speaks of. We will be raptured up out of here before that happens. So we need to be faithful and look up. We need to be faithful and looking for Jesus Christ, not the Antichrist. Titus 2:13, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So today, let's look here at this beast known as the Antichrist. Number one, I want you to see here that I want you to see the Antichrist and his person. Who is he? Who is he? Verses 1 and 2 here in Revelation chapter number 13. So if you can get back in Revelation chapter number 13, we want to see who the Antichrist is. In Revelation 13, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says here, and I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his head has the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority.
Now, when we start thinking about the world we live in, we start thinking about all the religions in the world, there's a whole lot of religions in this world. There are a lot of false religions in this world, but when you take Christianity, when you look at Christianity, Christianity is different from all other religions in the world because it's not a religion. Christianity is a faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, everything in the Christian life is done by faith, not by sight. You see, we believe by faith. We weren't there when Jesus died on the cross. We weren't there when He rose the third day. But in John 3:16, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And so, that's all faith. Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, receiving Him as my Savior, is all done by faith. Now, when the rapture happens, the saved people, those that have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, will be taken out of here. We know that truth. That truth is over here in 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. It says that, "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." You see, the Lord Jesus Christ isn't coming all the way to the earth. He's going to descend from heaven. He's going to come up into the clouds. He's going to shout, and I think of Lazarus when he said he shouted for Lazarus to come forth. He's just going to come up in the clouds and he's just going to shout, "Hey, come forward." I don't know, but he's going to shout, and all those dead that are in Christ are coming out of those graves, right? We've all had loved ones going on before us. They're saved. Their body went to the ground, but their soul went to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's our hope. In verse 17 there he says, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." That is our hope. That is the believer's hope. If the rapture happened right now, all those that are saved would be raptured up out of here to meet the Lord Jesus Christ in the air, and then we would be with Him forever and ever. Now, if you're saved, again, I want to stress, if you're saved, you will not be going, you will not be here when the Antichrist comes on scene. We will not be here. The rapture will happen before then. And praise God, I don't have to go through the tribulation here. I go through tribulations, but I do not go through this 7-year tribulation. All right? Again, we're not looking for the Antichrist. We're looking for Jesus Christ. Now, those that will remain here after the rapture, those are those that are lost. Those are those that have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. And so you'll know that the Antichrist will come on scene, and they will be easy prey for the devil and the Antichrist. Now, as far as the Antichrist, there are many names for the Antichrist in the Bible. 1 John 2:18 calls him the Antichrist, and 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3, Paul calls him the man of sin and the son of perdition. In Revelation 13, our text, he's called the beast. And in Daniel chapter 7 through 9, we'll look at those here in a bit, he's called the little horn and the prince that shall come. But let me tell you, the Antichrist is not a made-up character. He is a real man. He is a real person who is going to be set up as the main man by the devil. So who is this man? Where does he come from? Well, let's look here and see. In Revelation chapter 13, in verse number 1, if you could flip back over there. It says here, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea." Now, talking about sea, we're not talking about water here. We're not talking about a literal sea of water. What he's referring to here is the sea of humanity. The sea of people. He's coming from among the people. Kind of like when we choose a president, the president comes from the people of the United States of America, right? We're talking about the sea of the people. And this is explained here in Revelation 17. So if you could turn over to Revelation chapter number 17 and look here in verse number 15. Look here in Revelation 17, verse 15. The Bible says here, "And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest,
where the horse sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. So the Antichrist is going to come out of the nations of the world. Not coming from Israel, but he will arise from among the people. Now, I want you to turn over to Daniel chapter number 9. Daniel chapter number 9. And I want you to look at this here in verses 24 through 27. In Daniel chapter 9, in verses 24 through 27, we have a prophecy of Daniel. This prophecy is known as the 70 weeks prophecy that Daniel spoke about here in Daniel chapter 9. And it gives us a timeline from the rebuilding of Jerusalem to the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, to His death, and then to the future coming of the Antichrist. Okay? Daniel chapter number 9, in verse 25, this verse here is the first 69 weeks. Okay? This is the first 69 weeks. It's 483 years. It's from the command to rebuild Jerusalem, which happened in 445 B.C., to the coming of the Messiah, 483 years. This was fulfilled when Jesus went into the city, when He entered Jerusalem right before He was crucified. Okay? I'm just giving you some background here. I'm going to get into it. And then in Daniel 26, we see here that the Messiah is cut off, meaning He's crucified. And the city and the sanctuary, which is Jerusalem and the temple, would be destroyed. Prophesied, okay? And this happened in AD 70 by the Romans. That's important there, by the Romans. And then in verse 27, that's the final week. The final week, this is the final 7-year of tribulation period that is prophesied here, where the Antichrist comes on scene, makes a covenant with Israel, and he breaks it halfway through, and he causes great tribulation. But this is a prophecy that Daniel had. Okay? And so I want you to see here in verse 26, it says, "And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off." Again, that was his crucifixion. It says, "But not for himself." He wasn't crucified for himself. He died for the sin debt of all mankind. Okay? And it says, "And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city." That's important there. The people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Hey, Jerusalem is going to be destroyed. The temple is going to be destroyed. I'm going to come back to it. "And the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined." Now, verse 27, like I said, is that final week, that final tribulation period right here. "And he shall confirm that he is the Antichrist. He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, which is 7 years. And in the midst of that week, the 3.5-year mark, 42 months, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate." What I want you to get out of this is in Daniel 9, verse 26. The Antichrist here is referred to as the prince of the people that shall come, meaning this Antichrist is going to be from the lineage of the people who destroyed Jerusalem, of the people who destroyed the temple. That was the Romans. In AD 70, Titus came in. He was a general. He destroyed the city. And it's prophesied that the Antichrist is coming out of that same lineage, which is a revived, and it's some sort of a revived Roman Empire. Now, Romans are back in Revelation in chapter 13, verse 1. It tells us about having 7 heads. About 7 heads. Now, these 7 heads are interesting as well along those same lines that I was just talking about. But these are 7 mountains. So, again, that is over in Revelation 17. So, if you could turn to Revelation chapter number 17. I'm giving you a lot, I know, but hang with me. Hang with me here. Revelation chapter 17 is a passage about what's going on in this tribulation period. So it talks about the great harlot, which is referring to the apostate church, which is referring to the one world religion that's going on, that's going to dominate in this time. Okay, And so here in Revelation chapter number 17, look at verse number 9. It says here, "And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth."
Seven heads, seven mountains upon which the woman sitteth.
So now we're told here that this harlot sits on seven hills.
So do you know that there's a city known as the City on Seven Hills?
There's a city known, one city in all the world. You know what that city is?
Rome.
The city is Rome. Rome has always been called the City on Seven Hills. And in John's day, Rome was the capital of the world. It was a great city. And look here in verse 18 of Revelation 17. It says, Revelation 17, verse 18, "And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth."
Now, you take the Roman Catholic Church, it sits atop power in that city of Rome. You go look at the Vatican and everything and all the money and expenses and the power that they possess there in Rome. And historically, the Roman Catholic Church has always had great power.
They've had great power over men, but also over kingdoms and kings as well for centuries. And look there in verse number 6 of Revelation 17. It says, "And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus." Now, all throughout church history, we go back, we look at church history. We know that the Catholic Church was a great persecutor of Bible believers. You know, of people who would not baptize their baby. You know, the Anabaptists, of the Waldensians, right? All of those people who stood firm on "Thus saith the Lord." And the Catholic Church was a great persecutor of them. So just interesting there, but it gets even better. It talks about seven heads, right? Seven heads are also referencing seven kings that are associated with the Roman Empire. So if you're there in Revelation 17 still, I want you to look here in verses 10 and 11. Look here in verses 10 and 11. It says here, "And there are seven kings. Five are fallen, and one is. And the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space." Now we see here seven kings. Five of the kings had already fallen by the time that John had written this. All right? You had Julius Caesar, you had Tiberius, you had Caligula, you had Claudius, and you had Nero. The sixth one was in rule whenever John was exiled. That was Domitian. Domitian. Okay, and then the last one, or the seventh one, has not yet come. He is the one that is going to arise in the end time out of a revived, somehow, Roman Empire, which will be the Antichrist. The Antichrist. He will continue a short space. You see that there in verse 10. That short space is that prophecy there, which comes out of Daniel chapter 9 and verse 27, where it talks about the 70th week, that final week, that final tribulation period. Interesting, isn't it? Very interesting. But there's more. All right, Revelation. In Revelation chapter 13, he talks about here having 10 horns, and upon his horns, 10 crowns. Okay, so 10 horns with 10 crowns. Now these 10 horns are 10 kings. 10 kings that come into power in the days of the Antichrist. In Daniel chapter 7 and verse 24, you can write that down and look at it later, but it says, "And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise." Now flip back over to Revelation chapter number 17. Revelation chapter 17, and look here in verse number 12. 12 and 13 of Revelation chapter 17.
So, if you haven't gotten anything for homework, we got to read Revelation chapter 17 again, right? And we got to go back and read Daniel chapter 9 again, right? So that's our homework.
But here in Revelation 17 in verses 12 and 13, it says, "And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings which have received no kingdom as yet."
So now these 10 kingdoms that are coming about, apparently they may not even be in existence now. Okay, they're not in existence. They're not. But he says, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. Right.
So apparently, whatever that world is going to look like, these 10 kings will come into power at this time.
And verse 13 says, these have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast.
So these 10 kings, these 10 nations, they have authority. They have ruling authority, but the Antichrist is going to rule over them.
Now, we see something like that already in existence. European Union.
The European Union already in place. NATO's already in place. Things like that are already in place, that we could see those types of things just taking over if and when all of this happens, right?
But we already see the process. It's already there. Is paving the way for the Antichrist to come.
So now we learn from the scriptures, and we're going to turn over here in a minute, but in Daniel, and it's also on the handout that I gave you. It talks about four empires, right? Four empires: the Babylonian Empire, the Medo-Persian, the Greeks, and the Romans. All these empires, except the Romans, were conquered. Okay. And so what we have in verse 2 is kind of talking about the Antichrist, some characteristics of the Antichrist. But the Roman Empire, it just kind of fell apart. The others were defeated. But you see here in Revelation chapter 13 and verse 2, it says here, "And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority." All right. And so you hold that thought and you turn over to Daniel chapter number 7. All right. Which you have that sheet. So Revelation 13:2 is on there. So turn over to Daniel chapter number 7. Right, and so we see here from Revelation 13:2, the beast which I saw. The beast represents the Antichrist. We've been looking at that here tonight. But he says, like unto a leopard. This is cross-reference here in Daniel chapter 7 in verse number 6. So let's read that. He says, "After this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon him the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given over him." So he's saying the Antichrist is likened unto a leopard, talking about his speed, his cunning swiftness, right? And we're talking about Greece here, under the leadership of Alexander the Great, how he was able to conquer, and he did it quickly. He did it swiftly, okay? And then we go on here, and he says, "And his feet were as feet of a bear." Look there in Daniel verse 5. It says, "And behold, another beast, a second like to a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, Arise, devour much flesh." So we see here, this is talking about the strength, the stability, and the crushing power with the ribs in his mouth, the crushing power. And we're talking about the Medo-Persian Empire as well here with them. And he goes on, he talks about the mouth of a lion in verse 4. And the first was like a lion, and had an eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth, and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. All right, and so we see here the strength, the stability, or the ferocity, the authority, and the pride. All right, we're all talking about Babylon here. Babylon under King Nebuchadnezzar. Remember, he stood and said, "Look, is this not great Babylon, which I have built?" Right, we're talking about the pride here with the lion. Okay, but it's interesting because when you take these two, you take Daniel and you take the prophecy of Daniel. Daniel is looking forward. He's looking into the future. And when you take John in Revelation 13, he's looking back. He's looking back at it, okay? And it's interesting because you notice in Revelation 13:2, in Daniel chapter 7, in those verses that we just met, they look at them in different perspectives. See that? They look at them in different perspectives. So that was just interesting to me. So what do I need to take away from this? Hey, this here links the Antichrist to major world empires of the past, right? The Babylonian Empire, the Medo-Persians, the Greece Empire as well. But the Antichrist is one that's going to come out here. Let me read here verses 7 and 8 and we'll wrap this up here. It says here in Daniel 7, verse 7 and 8. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly. Now he's looking ahead, he's seeing the Roman Empire. And it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it. And it had 10 horns. Again, those 10 horns. I considered the horns, he says here. And behold, there came up among them another little horn. So you see the Antichrist, talking about the Antichrist here. The Antichrist is this little horn. He is going to come out of those 10 horns. He's going to come from those 10 teeth. Okay? Another reason why we're not going to be here. We're going to be raptured out of here, right? And so as we study these things and we look at these things, we've got to remember we're not to get caught up on these things, because we're not going to be here when these things happen. But the Antichrist, he is going to be a combination of the leopard, a combination of a bear, a combination of a lion, all wrapped in one. Where is he going to get all that power from? Satan. Satan finally has his man in the Antichrist here. And the Antichrist will come on scene under Satan's power, and he will rule with authority. Now, as I close here, there's no doubt we're living in these end times. Jesus could come back right now. So the most important thing here is, are you saved? Are you going to heaven? Do you know for sure 100% you're going to heaven? Because when the rapture happens, there'll be no time to get saved. There will be no time to run or hide or get saved or anything like that. You will be left behind in the destruction and the death and to eternal torment that the Bible warns us about in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2 in verse number 9, that he will send strong belief, that he will believe the lie of the Antichrist and the devil. So I got to stop here, but I'll continue this on because there's a lot I know. And so I'm going to encourage you to take these verses and these notes and go back in there, because there is definitely a lot of interesting and needful information there. So let's pray.